Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of 2 books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. Thank you for hanging around with us. It's always a pleasure to be part of your day, and I know it's like a dream come true for you to be part of ours. I hear you tell me that all the time. Gary Sutton is our guest, ladies and gentlemen, a new friend, soon to be an old friend. Gary is an author, an outstanding speaker, and a veteran turnaround expert. He has helped companies all over the country and halfway around the world to go from being in trouble to being out of trouble. And he's an expert in that way. He's the author of a book I'm holding in my hand, which I think you're going to find to be a very important one, Corporate Canaries, Avoid Business Disasters with a Coal Miner's Secret. Gary Sutton, welcome to the show.
I'm happy to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you here. And folks, those of you who, like me, read the Wall Street Journal every day, if you've been doing it for a while, you know that the late editor, the late outstanding, world-class, none-can-compare editor of that outstanding publication was Robert Bartley, Bob Bartley, Pulitzer Prize winner as well. And you actually knew Bob, Gary, and so I'm a little jealous because I only knew him through what I read about him, and you actually knew him. So he actually made a nice comment about your book, and I know you're very proud of that.
Well, I think Bartley was just one of the heroes of business. He's been dead for 2 years, and I'm sorry about that. But he said that if business managers could only read one book, this should be it. And my publisher liked that so much, he put it on the cover.
Absolutely. Gary, you've got something under 10, maybe 20 million small business owners sitting at your knee right now. And where would you start if they're sitting there saying, Gary, you know, make sure that we have the maximum opportunity to be successful, and we've only got a few minutes to talk about it. Where would you start?
Well, I think the first thing I'd do if I have 20 million small business owners,
something under 20 million.
I would get down off the chair and I'd get down on the floor with them, because most of the stuff I've done has been in small business myself. I guess I'd reflect back on the troubles I've seen in small business. The first one that comes to mind is too many times they've tried to sell their way out of trouble. Now, you always want more sales. We always are driving for more sales, and we have to be. But sometimes when you have a little problem with profits, in other words, if they aren't there, just adding more sales isn't always the answer. And I've just run into several tragedies that instead of trying to fix their cost problem, they tried to sell their way out.
Well, I've said for years that if you're walking down the street and you see somebody wandering around looking like they've just been run over by a truck, and they ask you for the license plate, you probably are meeting an entrepreneur who thought that they could that growing their business was all they had to do to be successful. They didn't have to, you know, they didn't realize that that you can literally succeed yourself right out of business.
Oh yeah, yeah, and you just have to keep watching those margins on the new business you add. I mean,
and of course, in the early days, Gary, it's not even the profit; it's the cash.
Yes,
it's always
yes.
The cash, but especially in the early days.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that bank account's got to grow with every new sale you get. And I've had an aerospace business I took over that was not a big one, 100 employees. Trying to think, there was a toy business and a software company. Well, the software company was on the Inc. 500 list of fastest growing companies. And when I was a turnaround guy, that was my best shopping list. Anybody that was on the Inc. 500 list was going to be a prospect within a year.
Mm-hmm.
because they just emphasized sales. And the other aspect of that list was whoever was on it spent a lot of time filling out forms to get on it. And that's kind of a distraction.
Mm-hmm. Is that right? So you think that kind of self-promotion is a little bit distracting?
Well, what does it do for you, getting yourself listed on the Inc. 500?
What does it feed your ego, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. But what do your customers think?
You know, what's in it for
they're
them,
the ones
huh?
you got to be worried about.
Right. Well, I think that if you could tell small businesses anything, and I'm really glad that was your first principle in your book. The very first chapter, folks, is you can't outgrow losses. I really appreciate that, Gary. When we were looking at your book and thinking about having you on, when I saw that, I said, you know what? That tells me he knows what's going on, because if you wanted to give a small business owner the maximum opportunity to be successful, and you only had 15 seconds to do it, I would say understand the difference between cash flow and accounting and how growth impacts both of those. And that's basically what you talk about in this chapter. Gary Sutton, ladies and gentlemen, he's the author of Corporate Canaries. He and I will be right back after these messages. It's 20 till. Whatever you do, don't go away. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and Gary Sutton is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a business turnaround expert. He's also an author, and the reason I know that is because I'm holding his book. It's called Corporate Canaries, Avoid Business Disasters with a Coal Miner's Secret. Now, in case there probably are some people out there, Gary, who don't understand the canary analogy, tell us what that means.
Well, my grandpa was a coal miner, and the thing that they used to do in the coal mines, this is 100 years ago, was they had little canaries in cages in the tunnels, because a canary's metabolism is much faster than ours. The canaries would detect methane gas when it leaked into the
poisonous
mine,
methane gas.
Yeah, and that was their biggest risk as miners, and so it was just a kind of a detection device.
And they wouldn't they couldn't smell the methane gas, could they?
I know my grandpa couldn't.
And, before it was dangerous, so the canary toppled over.
That's right. That's right.
When they saw the canary dying or having a little bit of a problem, they knew it was time to get out, didn't they?
Yep, they'd run to the elevator and get up and out of the shaft.
Well, I think this is a really good thing for small business owners. If they aren't already doing it, Gary, I think it's a good thing for them to use this metaphor and incorporate this into your jargon, ladies and gentlemen. Incorporate it into your internal discussions, because if you can give something that's about to become a problem, but it's not easily identified, it's not readily seen by the naked eye, so to speak, if you can say, you know, this might turn into a canary, everybody gets it immediately, then it's totally intuitive for everybody, and that's when something is pulled out on the put on the table and examined, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And really, I've done so many businesses and mostly all small businesses, and the problems over and over and over again have kind of been the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing how similar they are, and the interesting thing is, Gary, is that you see it immediately, they don't see it at all, and it's not that you're smarter than them, it's just that they're so close to it.
Absolutely. I've got an unfair advantage, being a fresh set of eyes and also having turned around 9 businesses.
Right.
It kind of gives you a perspective that's unique. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of a mile wide and an inch deep.
Okay. Your second important point is you say debt is a killer. Now small business owners cannot grow their businesses, Gary, without borrowing money. It's basically a natural law. I mean, if you find 100 businesses, small businesses, they're successful, 99 of them will have done it with borrowed money.
Absolutely. And there's
so why do you call it a killer?
There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, we wouldn't have cell phones. We wouldn't have CNN. We wouldn't have a lot of these outlets.
Or the Small Business Advocate Show.
You got it.
Without debt.
But we got to borrow some. But it's the point I make is, you know, there's always a recession coming along. It's mm-hmm. like the tide. You know, it's going to happen. And if you've got too much debt, you know, the banker's going to own you.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And but what is too much debt? How do we know when that is?
When we've got first of all, there's too much debt, I'd say, when you've got twice the current liabilities as you do assets. You know, mm-hmm. if you get beyond that, you're skating near the edge. But maybe more important, if you're spending more time with bankers than you are with customers, you've got too much debt.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be customers give you money to keep. Bankers give you money to take back. It's
right.
not real complicated.
Yeah. With interest and fees.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, God bless our bankers. I mean, I'm telling you, in my new book, Gary, to give you an example of how important our bankers are, we in the acknowledgments page of our new book that's just now coming out. I haven't even really told the audience about that. We thank our banker, and we name them by name.
That's good.
You haven't seen too many people and too many authors do that, but we do. We name them by name. We're proud of our bank, and because we wouldn't be here without our bank, but. But you're right. You've got to make sure that you manage it, because if you get upside down, I like your example. That's a pretty good canary. If you're spending more time with your banker than you are with your customers, you got a problem.
Yes. Absolutely.
How do you fix that? How do you fix that though? Because getting over leveraged is insidious. It's seductive. It, all of a sudden, you wake up one morning and you realize it's happened. How do we stop that?
That's the toughest of the five problems to fix, and it just takes a slow grinding down, getting profits. Maybe you stop all capital expenditures for a little while. Maybe you sell a few shares and get an equity partner.
Mm.
And it's just the kind of thing that the first time there's an economic downturn, you need to not have too much debt. Debt is fine when times are great, and debt's necessary to grow, but... It's a toughie, and this is a rule I've broken a number of times and got lucky sometimes and had some disasters other times where I was too leveraged.
Well, one of the things that I've said, Gary, is that why are you borrowing this money? Is it really important for the company, or is part of it to feed your ego? Because what I have found is the greatest example of a business Molotov cocktail is when you combine ego and leverage.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, ego and leverage. You better have another buyer around the corner that's going to pick up your business that can absorb that debt, because that's the only real way out of excessive debt is to get acquired by somebody else that can stand those payments.
Well, one of the things that you got to do, folks, if you want to, in the early days, you're going to have some debt. If you want to get that ratio into a better condition, like Gary was talking about, you got to leave some profits in the business. You got to leave retained earnings. And there's nothing in the world your banker would rather see. In fact, when you hand them your financial statements, you've heard me say this before, the first thing they're going to do is they'll go to the bottom of the balance sheet or the second page of the balance sheet, and they're going to look at the next to the last line where it identifies retained earnings. And if those numbers are good, you're going to make your banker smile. And when your banker is happy, you'll be happy. Tintel, stay with us.
On the roof is peaceful as can be. Come from the cities and they come from the small towns. And beat up cars with the tires and drummers go crack.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're rocking in the USA with our new friend Gary Sutton, soon to be old friend, the author of Corporate Canaries, Avoid Business Disasters with a Coal Miner's Secret. And, you know, Gary, I really am, obviously my audience knows that if it didn't endorse your book, you wouldn't be on the show. We get a lot of books in here, and we don't, everybody that sends a book to us doesn't get on the show. They have to pass a certain test, and yours did, obviously, and I congratulate you on that. And the thing about it is, though, is that your book is one that when they read part of this book, they're going to see themselves, and some of the things that they're going to see is going to make them break out into a little bit of a cold sweat, aren't they?
Well, I think so.
And it'll scare them a little bit, because they're either already doing some of the things you talk about, or they may be thinking about it. Either way, but folks, here's the thing: that's the forging of your entrepreneurial mettle. When you're able to read something like that and believe it and take it to heart, you're forging your entrepreneurial mettle, and it's the way you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. So, Gary, I hope folks will take these things to heart.
Well, better to read about it and see some of my bruises than to experience it themselves.
You talk about some of your bruises in here, don't you?
Oh, I've got so many, it's embarrassing. I'm glad this isn't television.
What's an example? Give us a good example of something that you...
I'd say the largest printer on the West Coast, this was not a small business, so it was a little different, called Graphic Arts Center. It was a company that I took over about 10 years ago, and I grew their sales too fast, and I almost lost it.
You violated your first principle, didn't you?
That's right. And we came so close to going over the edge, it scares me to think about it. As a young, brand-new CEO, didn't understand debt, and man, did we grow fast and almost went bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Embarrassing.
Well, here's the thing. Sometimes you small businesses get the idea that it's so hard to get debt that if I get it, it must be the right thing to have. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah.
Haven't you seen that happen? And that's probably what happened to you. You thought, well, you know, bankers don't just throw their money around. If they actually give it to me, it must be a good idea. But that's not really the way it works, is it?
Oh, no. I'd been turned down by so many loans in my prior startups and businesses that I thought, oh, I must be big time now. I can really borrow. And I borrowed $10 million and just about lost 20.
Wow. That's hard to do, too, isn't it?
Oh, no. No, it's not.
Well, by the way, I want you to come back. We got a lot more things to talk about. There are more things in your book that I want to talk about later on. So we don't have to do everything today. But I want you to, in the time we have left, which is about 3 minutes, what would you say? Let's talk some more about this idea of leverage and how do we grow our businesses successfully with leverage without letting it get out of hand? What are the indicators? What are the markers that tell us when we're safe and when we're not safe?
Well, I think the debt-to-equity ratio, if you don't mind my getting boring and into accounting terms, you just watch that. And that's a comfortable place to stay. And I've violated that, Jim. I have to admit it. And I've never slept as well, when I was pushing beyond that. Because, you got to keep paying those vendors.
Mm-hmm.
Minute you stop doing that, you don't own the business anymore.
Well, what about when you look around and you realize that if cash flow ever dries up, you're in big trouble?
Oh.
That's the quick indicator, right? In other words, what if you did a projection for you took your business right now, the real business you have right now, and you put it on the spreadsheet and you did a discount of say 15%. Let's say 10 to 15%. Your cash flow dropped below that, and wouldn't that be a good way to see what kind of trouble you'd be in?
And you know why you got to do that? Because that is going to happen sometime.
Mm-hmm.
It's never as smooth as a baby's body.
It's not a matter of if; it's a matter of when, right?
Yeah. And it'll come back, but you got to be able to sustain those soft spots.
And see, I say take both of those projections, what you're doing and what would happen if you weren't doing so well, take both of those scenarios to your banker.
Absolutely.
And show them that you can operate at that conservative scenario, that off scenario.
Yep.
Where's the book available, Gary?
Book's available at all stores right now. It just got shipped this week, and they're into a second printing already. So you might call ahead. Call ahead, make sure the store has a copy. They're a little scarce at the moment.
It's a yellow book. It's called Corporate Canaries by Gary Sutton. Gary, will you come back another day?
I'd love to.
We got a lot more to talk about, and we'll get you back on. You can teach us a lot, and I appreciate your time today.
Jim, thank you.
Thank you. Gary Sutton, ladies and gentlemen, Sutton. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I will see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.